Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Is the show almost over already?
No, it's just starting.
Oh, yeah.
I know, yeah. It goes fast, but not that fast.
We just have time to say hello, and then it's over.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I hope you're still excited about this. I still think I'm in Pentecost season, and we've been doing a lot of shows about Pentecost and preaching, and today we're going to start, I don't know how long this will go on.
It could go on for a long time.
But today we're going to do, I'm going to guess conservatively, two shows, maybe three. From Acts chapter 10, which is the story about Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And we thought this, we were talking about this and during the week, and think this is probably the next logical thing to do since now the Holy Spirit's going to start falling on Gentiles of all people.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, when Gentiles move into your neighborhood, like, there goes the neighborhood. Well, now there's Holy Spirit falling on Gentiles, and whoever thought we'd see such a thing.
I know.
But anyway, I don't know if this
radical.
Is going to be, I don't know.
How long has this been happening?
Well, since about, almost 2,000 years.
2,000 years? Really? Yeah. We're just finding out about
it. And the Holy Spirit's still falling on Gentiles.
Good heavens.
As we speak.
No, we're not just finding out about it. So actually, this Pentecost has been going on for quite some time.
A long time. Almost 2,000 years.
Almost 2,000 years.
Yeah.
God's still pouring out his Holy Spirit upon.
Yes, he is. Unlimited outpouring.
On the least likely of those among us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not just the theologians, not just the people that are rich or poor or free or slaves or Jew or Greek. It's
those whom he chooses.
He poured out everywhere to who he chooses.
Yeah.
And this is how ministry gets done. This is how the gospel gets spread. And
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty awesome. And I think so many people, even in churches, just aren't even attuned to this kind of thing because they're not used to thinking that way, and they're not used to being open to what the Spirit's doing and being docile to what the Spirit wants them to do. And
yeah.
So we're going to make this is going to be kind of an interesting lesson. There's a lot to be learned in here because now the kingdom is being preached here, and when we get to Acts chapter 10, and I mean, some time has already gone by. Stephen's already been martyred. Not you, the other one.
Oh.
And, no, you're still here.
Oh.
And, Saul has already been converted and is just about to become Paul. And now we get to this story of the centurion Cornelius. And we should say, you know, that Paul talks about, there's a very interesting teaching in Ephesians 3. I think it's around verse 6. I think it might start in verse 6. Where Paul says one of the great mystery of the ages is that the Gentiles were going to be included with the Jews in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one, Paul calls it one of the great mysteries.
Yeah.
Like, we don't think it's a mystery because we're kind of used to being believing Gentiles.
probably wasn't a mystery to God.
No.
Because he probably planned it all along.
No.
But.
No. But, you know, Saul/Paul was a Pharisee. And it came as big news to him.
Like, oh, what in tarnations is going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't even know what's going to happen anymore if Gentiles are going to get spirit filled. All bets are off. So we don't know if Cornelius was the first Gentile. He probably wasn't. I mean, there were probably others that this had happened to, but this is a very well described, story. That is actually pretty detailed, so we're going to have to probably take this in chunks rather than read like all 44 verses at once.
I was hoping to read the whole 44
verses. Well, you will eventually.
Okay, just not all in one sitting. Huh?
No, maybe like, I don't know. Like, I think we should start.
You're taking all the fun out of it, man.
I hope you've gotten to Acts chapter 10 now.
I am. I'm there.
And no, I mean our listeners.
Oh.
You're always in Acts chapter 10.
Pretty much.
Why don't we start with verses 1 through 8?
I was going to say, why would you want to be anywhere else?
Yeah, exactly.
Besides Acts chapter
maybe
10.
Maybe 2.
Yeah, maybe 2. Okay, so Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now, in Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the cohort called the Italica, devout and God-fearing along with his whole household, who used to give alms generously to the Jewish people and pray to God constantly. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he saw plainly in a vision an angel of God come in to him and say to him, Cornelius. He looked intently at him and seized with fear, said, What is it, sir? He said to him, Your prayers and almsgiving have ascended as a memorial offering before God. Now send some men to Joppa and summon one Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with another Simon, a tanner, who has a house by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from his staff, explained everything to them, and sent them to Joppa.
Hmm. So that's pretty neat.
That is.
So here's Cornelius. He's a centurion, so he's commander of 100 men. You know, same root, of course, as the word century. Mm-hmm. And he's headquartered in Caesarea, which was the main Roman port in the land at the time, in Israel at the time. This is not Caesarea Philippi. It's Caesarea Maritima. And this is where Paul departed from Israel when he started his missions. And this is where eventually he was also shipped out to go to his trial before Caesar. But this was their main port on the Mediterranean, and the governor had a mansion there. So this was an important political and economic and military place.
Mm-hmm.
So this Italica regiment, or the Italian regiment, as it's called, they were a very loyal, they may have been the governor's guard, but they were a very important military unit. And a centurion was an important officer, because a group of centurions controlled pretty much like a whole battle.
Right.
And this is the reason I do this background is that this is a Roman military man who is involved in the occupation of the land. So the Jews, the chosen people, their land is being occupied by the Romans, and this guy's one of their officials.
Mm-hmm.
But he's what the Jews used to call a God-fearer. There were a certain number of people that realized that, you know, all their gods they had were, you know, probably not real, and some of this was all kind of silly.
Right.
And then they saw the Israelis worshiping the one true God, and a lot of these people had renounced their pagan culture and their pagan beliefs and actually worshiped the God of Israel in some way. They didn't do it like the Jews did, prayed to him and were convinced that the Jews were worshiping the right God. And they were not circumcised, so therefore they were not part of the covenant, and they weren't called Jews, but they were known as righteous Gentiles or pious Gentiles, like the rich guy who gave money to build a synagogue that Jesus talks about in Capernaum.
Right.
So this is the kind of the portrait of who this guy Cornelius is. They knew Jewish scripture. They knew Jewish tradition. They prayed to the God of Israel. They followed the laws that had to do with charity. And it says, you know, that he was a faithful guy who was praying all the time. So he had some light, you know, kind of tuned in mm-hmm. to the true God.
Right. Now, interestingly, this is happening not too long after Jesus was crucified. You know, Pentecost yes. had taken place 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so this is probably taking place, you know, a short time after that, but not that long after, you know, Jesus was crucified, his disciples witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, as you said, a centurion. He's a Roman soldier. And he's going to be calling for Peter.
Yeah.
You know, the Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross.
Right.
Now he's sending for Peter.
Yes.
Or Simon.
Yes.
So, you know, we have we're looking at this, you know, from the perspective of being 2,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, you know, how God worked here.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, but it took a lot of faith for Peter to be obedient to this.
Mm-hmm.
And to be obedient to the call of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
And that's what we're talking about here, is that this, you know, the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and how God works is not necessarily the way we would think things would go.
Yeah.
And this is a really good example of something like that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You don't generally go to the house of an occupying military force to one of their officers.
No.
If you're the one being occupied.
No. And he has to send for him.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You know, the angel says, go get Simon, you know, even tells him where Simon is.
Yeah.
Gives him the address, you know, it's 123 Elm Street. You know, this is the house of Simon the Tanner.
How did you know I was here? We have ways.
No. Yeah. So, interestingly, the angel says to send for Simon. Later on, the angel's going to say that Cornelius and his household need to hear what Peter has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, you know, from your point, Peter, as one of the first group of evangelists, has to proclaim the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Even though it's a Gentile household, he's going there to proclaim the gospel. Cornelius has some kind of a prayerful family. I like to think they had a home group with non-kosher refreshments. But Peter Peter's going to go to their home group, and he's going to proclaim the gospel to them. And here's this Roman officer who at 3 p.m. has a vision. I mean, 3 p.m. was a common time of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And Cornelius probably was praying there, was praying at that time. And this angel comes. I mean, Cornelius actually sees the angel.
Right.
And the angel apparently knows who he is. He calls him by name.
Right.
He calls him Cornelius. Like, you know, if the angel comes and says, hey, Steve, what's happening? Then, you know, the angel's like, not just appearing somewhere going, who are all these humans? He knows specifically who this guy is.
Yeah.
Calls him by name and says, God's taken notice of you and that you've had acceptable prayers. Your prayers have come up before God.
Yeah.
Now, that's quite an honor for a guy who is not only not in the covenant, but is a foreign military leader who's occupying the land.
Yeah. It's quite amazing because he's praying, he's almsgiving,
mm-hmm,
to the people there, and God honors this, even though he's not one of God's, you know, the chosen people, or like you said, he's not in the covenant, because mm-hmm, in order to be in the covenant in the Old Testament, you had to be circumcised.
Yes. Yes.
So it's rather astounding what's taking place. If you go back to that period of time when this took place, it's rather astounding, mm-hmm, to the people there what's about to take place and what is taking place in this passage here.
Yeah. And Cornelius wants to know what God wants of him. He says, well, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
He says to the angel, what is it? You know, what do you want? What's this all about?
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty cool. And the fact that he's told specifically to send for Simon, and the angel tells him exactly where Simon is. Simon also called Peter. So now we're back, mm-hmm, to, you know, the Simon and Peter. But this is after Pentecost, right, obviously. But, you know, the angel doesn't say, well, you know, Peter's somewhere, you know, send some guys out. I'm sure you got soldiers and stuff that can find him. Tells him exactly whose house he's in and tells him what you have to do. You have to go get the guy and you have to bring him here.
Now, how did the angel know that Simon was also called Peter?
Yeah.
Because Jesus told him.
Yeah, Jesus went back to heaven, he told him.
Right. You are Simon. Yeah. You're Peter. You're upon this rock.
Yeah. And interestingly, too, the way this is worded, he doesn't say, well, you know, Cornelius, you're kind of a cool guy, and maybe you should get together with this guy, Peter, sometime if you want to meet him at Starbucks or have breakfast with him someday, or maybe you should think about giving him a call. He says, no, send men and get them.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty definitive way to say you got to get Peter to your house, because when Peter shows up, something big is going to happen. Yeah. You need to have Peter come to your house. This is an indispensable thing.
Yeah.
You can't just, it's nice that you're praying, and it's nice that you guys have this home group, and it's nice that you give alms to the poor and all the other stuff you do, maybe, but there's something else you need to do. And Simon, who's called Peter, can obviously provide that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the angel could have told Cornelius the gospel. You know, the angel would be perfectly capable of doing that.
True.
But no, he tells him that Peter has to come and do it.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, as you were talking, I was thinking about how, about how God is using, you know, the angel knows that Simon's name has been changed to Peter. He knows that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, because Jesus did that. So, and not only does he know that, but he knows Cornelius's name, but he is also, you know, telling him exactly what God is, he's relaying to him what God has told the angel. He's a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, Cornelius is seized with fear at this, at the sight of this.
Angels are always scary.
Always scary. But Cornelius is seized with fear, and he asks that question, what is it, sir?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he did exactly as the angel told him. So when there's a message that God's giving, you know, God uses his messengers, his angels, to give messages. He can also use a human being to give a message too. But think of how it is in our day and age, in our culture. You get a message, you get a text message, you might not reply to it,
uh-huh.
You might just let it go. But, you know, the way that the Holy Spirit works, we have to be attentive to God's word. We have to be attentive to his prodding to get our attention.
Yes.
And sometimes he does not get our attention. Sometimes we're so busy, you know, it's almost like we're on the phone going, yes, Lord, what is it? Well, I got all these plans that I'm working on. Can I call you back after I'm done with all this? But no, Stephen, I want to talk to you about what you're doing because I'm really in the middle of something right now, Lord. I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I have some time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, I think that's how a lot of times people approach their relationship with God. I'm busy. I got part of the plan. Let me just go and work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's trying to tell you, no, I've got the whole plan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in our day and age with all of our technology and all of our modern conveniences of how to communicate, we don't really communicate too well too often sometimes. We're just totally too distracted.
And Steve can tell you how I manage with call waiting. Once in a while I get it.
I've been disconnected a few times. I don't hold it against you. I forgive you. So, but if it happens again, no. But, I mean, I think it really speaks volumes to really how we are in our own culture. I mean, technology has almost, technology could be a great thing, but it has almost brought us to the point of being so distracted that do we hear the voice of God speaking and do we take enough time to listen and to process it and discern it? That we know it's the voice of God.
Yes.
There's a lot of noise going on out there.
Yes.
A lot of noise.
And the technology is, you would be in total agreement with my wife who always says very similar views about technology, that it's taking us away from things and it's blocking things and it's taking over, but it's also taking over our life. And then even if, like, you know, Steve and I do a lot of teaching and things where we use computers and phones and iPads and stuff, but it's so easy while you're doing it. Like I just got a text while I was sitting here talking.
Mm-hmm.
If I took that text seriously as something I had to do right now, it would distract me from talking about Cornelius.
Right.
And it's something totally unrelated.
Right.
And, but, you know, you can get sidetracked all day long, and you're right. But I was thinking before I forget to say it, when you were talking about angels being messengers, and we don't know who this angel is. I mean, it doesn't identify him.
Right.
I don't think, right?
No.
No. We don't know if it's Gabriel. I mean, Gabriel made a few trips back and forth. So we're not sure. Maybe it was Gabriel, or, but it doesn't say. But this angel comes just to tell Cornelius to call for Peter. That's like his whole message.
Yeah.
It's like the whole reason he's here.
That's it. Got his attention.
Yeah. So instead of the angel saying to Cornelius, you know, it's really nice that you're praying and it's really nice what you're doing here at 3 p.m., but there's some information you don't have. You don't actually know the truth about Jesus and what the gospel really is. And this guy, Simon Peter, is going to come and tell you.
Yeah.
It's basically why he's arranging this.
Right.
The angel's not going to tell him.
No.
And for some reason, you know, Paul talks about how God has arranged our foolish preaching to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're foolish people, but we preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And here, you know, a man has to come to tell this other group of people the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The angel doesn't do it.
Right.
The angel can say, listen, Cornelius, if you believe, and Cornelius probably heard about Jesus being crucified. We don't know.
Right.
But it was, you know, if he was in this unit that was attached to the governor, who at the time, of course, was Pontius Pilate. And I mean, word may have gotten through the ranks of what had happened, because there was almost an uprising with the Jews and the priests and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he's...
Yeah, so, I mean, the angel could have said, you know, that Jesus that was crucified was the Messiah, and you can be saved by believing in him and confessing your sins to him, and in his blood you can be forgiven of all your sins. But I think we're going to have Peter come and tell you that.
Well, God has another plan here, because the promise of the Father is going to come into the situation.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, when we tell somebody the gospel, when we witness to someone and try to evangelize someone, we're doing God's plan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from preaching. Hearing comes from the word of God.
Right.
It doesn't come by some other way that an angel suddenly comes and tells you about salvation. I mean, I guess that could happen.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it has happened. But interestingly, Cornelius, as we're going to see, immediately obeys what the angel wants him to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, look, angel, I'm going to think about this a while. I'm a really important guy. I got a lot of paperwork to do from my military unit, and I got Pontius Pilate breathing down my neck, and if I don't get these reports done by tomorrow, I'm going to be in big trouble. he immediately obeys.
Yeah.
And sends his men to Joppa to go get him. Well, we haven't read that yet. But
not yet. Not yet.
Should we start reading, or do you think the music's going to start?
Yeah, the music might start. We can read. And then we'll come back. If we have to come back to it, we can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, we did read that. He sent them to Joppa immediately.
Immediately.
Without even thinking about it. You want to start reading in verse 9?
Sure. The next day, while they were on their way and nearing the city, Peter went up to a roof terrace to pray at about noontime. He was hungry and wished to eat, and while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all the earth's four-legged animals and reptiles and birds of the sky. A voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, sir, for never have I eaten anything profane and unclean." The voice spoke to him again and said a second time, "What God has made clean, you are not to call profane." This happened three times, and then the object was taken up into the sky.
That's pretty cool.
That
so
is.
Peter's praying at noon.
And now our radio show's getting taken up into the sky because the music is there.
I can't believe it's the music.
Oh.
We have to wait another week to talk about Peter praying on the rooftop.
Yeah.
But anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray, just as the angel came to Cornelius to deliver a message to him, that you would be open to the Holy Spirit and how God is prompting you to follow him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.